On the screen, there are four pictures. Here's the question. No, they're my daughters. I was going to ask you, which one do you think is me? None of them are me. They're too cute to be me. But they're my four daughters. They're not in chronological order. I just put them up there randomly, numbered them. I was going to give a candy cane away to the person who could come up after the service and tell me which one is which, but I didn't have any candy canes. But if you come up after the service, I'll give you a high five, okay? If you can put them in order, 1, 2, 3, 4. Their names are Annabelle, Abby, Ellie, and Livy. That's their birth order. That's not the order they are on the screen. But you'll notice some similarities. You look at any children, any babies in a family, often you will notice similarities. In our family, there's similarities. Some of them look a lot alike, some of them look a little alike. But if you just go to a nursery at a hospital, you know, babies, they kind of look similar. Not all of them, but they look kind of similar. That's why they put those armbands on them, you know, so they don't mix up the babies. So they go home wrong, and then they check them with mom. If you've ever been in the hospital, they check mom's armband, baby's armband. There's this name card that was in the little bassinet thing that they wheel back and forth. I mean, they take great care so that baby goes home with the right people. Because it's a big problem if you misidentify a baby. Mama is not going to be happy if you send her home with the wrong baby or bring the wrong baby in. It's going to be all kinds of bad. Hopefully it'll get squared away by the hospital system, the nurses would figure out. But it's an even bigger problem, I think, that we would misidentify who the baby in the manger is this Christmas season. See, there's people out there, and there's some people, and they would say that the baby in the manger is a figment of fiction. They might say, well, he's just a made-up story. He's kind of a fable. We don't know for sure if he was real. Now, to be, I think, 100% fair, there's not a lot of good historians who believe that Jesus never existed. Some people might say he's just a good teacher. And he was a teacher. And he was good at it. And that he came just to give wisdom and teach us how to love one another and give us the golden rule. And that's who he is. But that would be to misidentify the baby in the manger. I think it's fascinating. We've been going through the book of Hebrews on Sunday mornings, if you've been with us. And the book of Hebrews starts with this first four verses, which I think are fantastic. We're going to go there right after we go to the Christmas story. We've heard much of the Christmas story. The text is going to be on the screen for you. I'm going to read it. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, we believe the Bible is the Word of God and that He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to us this Christmas. Actually, this morning, I finished up my year-long Bible read-through. I was smashing to get it in because it these last few weeks, I was a little behind, but I finished it up this morning. And if you don't have a Bible, we'd encourage you, there's a Bible underneath the chair near you. Take it home as a gift from us at the church. Consider it a Christmas present from us. And read it. I'd encourage you to get into it this next year, or even as you have some time off. So this is from Matthew, which is one of the Gospels, one of the stories about Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, or chapter 1, verses 22 and following. We've already heard some of this. It says this, all this is Joseph was engaged to Mary and then finds out Mary's pregnant and he knows the baby doesn't go with him. And so he says, well, I'm going to put her away quietly. I don't want to make this a huge deal, but I really don't want to be married to her. And when he's made that decision, he has this vision, this dream of this in this angel comes and speaks to him and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child that is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So he wakes up, and that's where we pick up the story. And it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. The prophet being Isaiah, hundreds of years before. This is a quote from Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus. I think it's fascinating because if you flip over to the book of Hebrews that we've been studying on Sundays, the book of Hebrews starts out this way, and you're going to see some of the same words here. long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. By who? By the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance, he being the Son, the baby in the manger, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. So who is this baby? What's his identity? So we're going to look at briefly, and then I want to look at three implications of that identity to you and to me. Three things that I hope will maybe change the way you think, will change the way we experience Christmas and life because of who he is. And then I just want to come back at the end and ask one question, one simple question. So who is this baby that we find in the manger? This is what Hebrews chapter 1 says. Kimberly and I didn't work on this together. I think it's amazing. She used words that I was getting ready to use. He is God's message to us. The baby in the manger. He came and he spoke things to us. Jesus taught all sorts of things. It's recorded in the scripture. But just his coming and just the actions of his life, his sacrificial death on the cross, his rising from the dead, the miracles that he performed, just his coming, he is God's message to each and every one of us. You'll notice in Matthew, there's some words, and these words are going to come up in Hebrews. It says, the Lord had spoken by the prophet. That's going to come up again. He says, Emmanuel, which means God with us. There's this idea that God is coming near. And then there's this idea of a son. Mary gave birth to who? To a son. As we come to the book of Hebrews, which is written after the life, death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, we see the same three elements in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. We see God. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. It's part of the identity of who Jesus is. He's God. And as God, he is the bearer of God's message, God's word. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, God's message to us. So we have God, then we have he spoke to our fathers by the prophets. If you look back in Matthew, it says this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. And in Hebrews it says God spoke to their fathers. Who are their fathers? The Jewish people before Jesus came. He spoke to them by the prophets. And then it says in verse 2, but in these last days he has spoken. He has communicated to us by speech. Although it involves speech, not primarily by speech, but by sending someone, by a son. That same element that we see in Matthew chapter 1. So we see that Jesus is God's message to us. He's God's message to us. Why is he God's message to us? Look at these words. Because, verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. So Jesus coming to earth, the baby in the manger, he's not just a baby. He's not just a good teacher. He is the radiance of the glory of God. So Jesus could say, and he did say, that to look at Jesus is to look at God. It is the exact imprint of his nature. So to experience life with Jesus is to experience life with God. And because of that, he is God's message to us. So what is God trying to say to us this Christmas? There's at least three things, and they're in the text. Three things that I think he wants to speak to maybe some of us this Christmas season. If you're here and you feel like there's hopeless, you look at the world and all you see is dark. You don't see good in front of you. You don't know how things could possibly turn out well. Because Jesus is God's message to us, this is, and because of who Jesus is, God whispers this through him, that there is hope regardless of your circumstances. There is hope no matter what if you belong to him. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, there is always hope. That doesn't mean he's going to necessarily fix what's going on in your life. It doesn't mean this hard season that you are walking through is necessarily going to come quickly to an end as you and I would hope. But what it does mean is that in a big, large sense, there is good for you if you belong to him no matter what. Now, why do I say that? I say that because look what it says in verse 2. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, which you've already seen, whom he appointed. Who? He appointed the heir of all things. Now, heir is someone who inherits. They're going to be the owner of something. I was the heir to a great estate. I'm not. But if I was, or the heir to a fortune, I'm not. Right? I'm the future owner of that thing. I have future ownership rights to that thing. He says, the heir, not of a great estate, not of a great fortune, but he's the heir of what? Of all things. So who's the baby in the manger? The baby in the manger is the one who is the heir of all things, the one who's going to own everything, the one who's going to rule everything. And when he was here with us on this earth, Jesus made statements like this. He said, guys, I'm going to go away and prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. He said things like, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. He made all these statements, and it's getting at this truth that if you belong to Jesus, you know him as your Savior, there's hope for you no matter what. Why? Because he's the heir of all things, and a day is coming when he's going to make all things new. He came once at Christmas. He's going to come again in his second return, and he's going to bring great, great good and healing to all things. And if we belong to him, we know him as our Savior, then we're going to be in on that. So whether or not you feel like you have hope, there is hope. And the baby in the manger whispers to you and says, there's hope no matter what. Don't give up. Secondly, if you feel, maybe you don't feel hopeless, maybe you feel helpless. You feel stuck. You feel like there's nothing you can do to get out of the situation that life has you in. The baby in the manger says this, and we don't often think about this. The baby in the manger says, there is power beyond your wildest imagination that is available to you if you belong to him. If you've come to God in faith and you said, I trust in Jesus as my Savior, that he's forgiven my sins, and I want to follow you, then there is power available to you beyond your wildest imagination. You don't have to go through this life on your own strength. Look at what Hebrews chapter 1 says. This is the baby in the manger, the Son. It says, through whom? He's the agent of what? Of creation. Through whom he created the world. He spoke, and everything that we see came into existence. Everything that we're going to enjoy this Christmas season, everything that we're going to taste, he thought of that and was involved in creating that. Not only that, but it says, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So not only is he the creator, but he is the sustainer of everything. That's who the baby in the manger is. And so if you belong to him, when he comes to you and says, even if you feel helpless, even if you feel powerless, you can tap into his power. You can say to him, Lord, I need help. Lord, I don't have enough to keep going. I don't know what to do here. And that's a prayer that he will certainly answer. So the baby in the manger whispers, not only there's hope, but there is also power. And thirdly, not only that, but to those who feel like they're unloved, anybody have, I know you all have perfect families, I'm sure. But anybody have families or friends that there's like not perfect harmony all the time? Maybe you don't feel like all the love and that you would hope to feel. Sometimes the holidays can be painful. Sometimes they can be great and we can feel loved and just like basking in it, but sometimes it can feel really, really tough. Because it's a reminder of someone we either lost, that's not there anymore, or there's a broken relationship. But the baby in the manger whispers this to you: I love you so much. This is from God. I love you so much that I would do anything. I would give anything to save you. That's the message of God to us. It says this, after making purification for sins. See, the reason Jesus came was because we have a sin problem. We are, as the Bible says, we're enslaved to sin. That means we choose ourselves 100% of the time. It means we're bent inwards on ourselves. It means because of that, we injure other people around us. We give into our lesser passions. And there's nothing we could do about it, but Jesus came to get us out of that mess, to pay for our sins on the cross. So he lived a perfect life, and he died a terrible death in your place and in my place. And his coming, he didn't have to do that. His coming is as if God says to you and to me, I love you so much that I would give my most precious only son to be brutalized beyond description, to endure the full judgment of divine wrath on sin so that you can be saved. Friends, that's the message of Christmas. That's what God whispers to you and to me this Christmas season. But here's the thing. Will we hear it? Will you hear? There's a lot going on. There's a lot of messages. There's a lot of activity. There's a lot of stuff pulling for your attention. There's a lot of things that want you to think that, man, the world is hopeless. There's a lot of things that want to make you feel helpless. There's much in life that will leave you feeling unloved. But this Christmas season, would you hear what God wants to say to you? There's always hope. Jesus is a herald of hope. There's power beyond your wildest imagination. And there is love that will never leave you or forsake you or let you go. Hear that this Christmas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you that he came. Thank you that he took on himself human flesh. Thank you that he did that so that he could bear our sin in his flesh on the cross. That is a wonder. And I would just pray for those here, Lord, that we would hear what you are trying to say to us in him. Father, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as their Savior, they haven't trusted Christ, I would just ask that maybe they would think about that. Lord, if your spirit is prompting them, that they would reach out to you in faith and say, Jesus, I believe in you, I trust you, and I want to follow you. Please save me. Lord, that they would hear your voice. Lord, help us who know you to hear your voice in the midst of all the other things that are going to be pulling on us this season. Pray in your holy and precious name.